shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Welcome, everybody. Well, it's very rare that we hear our listeners out there, but today we're so happy again today because we've got our students from St. Stanislaus Kostka School with their teacher, Miss Riley, and we are extremely excited because we're preparing for what?
We are preparing for our production of A Christmas Carol.
Which is going to be
tomorrow?
Half Friday.
Yeah, tomorrow, Friday, December 13th at 6 p.m.
Sold out.
Show. Yeah. We also have another show on Saturday at 1 p.m. And our Sunday show is at 2, which is also near to be sold out.
Miss Riley, I have to tell you, and I got to tell our people, our listeners out there, that we are so excited. I'm so excited. For so many years, I wanted this drama. I believe, Tony, we were speaking about this the other day after we had the Christmas concert yesterday evening, which was beautiful, and we had some of the students on Tuesday on the radio, and I think after they left, we were talking on the radio about preparing for this radio broadcast, and how years ago in the neighborhood, we had it was kind of a rough neighborhood. It was a good neighborhood. We had a lot of people, a lot of activity, a lot of involvement in the life of the parish and the school. But we also had a lot of rough things going on in the streets. And so the best way that we got the young people off the street, was to get them into drama. And I firmly believe in it, and I am very excited. So for so many years, I wanted to see this in our school, and you've come along, and you've made it happen. So what inspired you? I didn't even ask you.
Yeah, so this idea actually came out of a conversation that I had with Miss Scott, which is our middle school ELA teacher. She and I just were kind of talking about what the school had and where we saw the school could, you know, bring a little bit more life to the students. And we said, how about drama? Now, both of us didn't really have any experience with drama in our own schooling, but it's something that we both really wanted to do. And so we brought the idea. It actually came out of one of our actors, a conversation with Emiliano, who is our ghost of Christmas present in our play. And we said, hey, you've talked a lot about Hamilton. This is something that we see you have an interest in. What if we brought this to St. Stan's? And he was ecstatic. Wow. And then he started sharing it with his friends. And really, that's how we ended up 37 kids strong at this
amazing
point.
So I didn't know anything about this until one day I happened to be walking to the cafeteria, and this was a couple of months ago at least, it seems to me. And I saw on there was this great big board, like the bulletin board, but it was beautifully artistically prepared and had photos. It had the announcement of the upcoming Christmas play, A Christmas Carol, and it had professional. I mean, these were like these were really professional photos of the students.
Yeah, so we wanted to give them kind of the whole experience. And for a lot of these students, this is their first experience acting. I think we only have two that have participated with Dream Big in the past. But one of the most important things is really to make sure that the rest of the community knows what they're doing. And so we wanted to give them the opportunity to take professional headshots. And so that way, if this is something that they truly wish to pursue moving forward, which we've seen to have a lot of interest, they can make this part of their portfolio. Even, you know, as young students, they have the ability to start getting their voices heard, their faces out there. There are lots of opportunity for kids these days. And so this is really just a good stepping stone for them.
Bravo. Or they say sweet. How sweet. Yeah, did you?
Sweet.
I mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah.
I hear the kids are saying that. Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet. And in the leading up to this production, it's not just we haven't and to be honest, you and I haven't spoken about this. So you've got actors. What about setup? What about, you know, just a little bit about
So you know, we started this the second week of school, so back in August, and since then we started with 7 kids that first week. By the next week, we had over 25.
Amazing.
And we just kept growing, and we didn't want to really cut it off, so everyone had the opportunity to be in it. So for our play, we have a couple of backdrops that the kids have also been a part of painting, and a lot of their families have put in so many hours, and like for that, I'm so grateful. The kids painted some of our backdrops that will be up tomorrow. We've done a couple of little events in the school to kind of get ourselves out there to the student body. I'm wondering, can I turn it over to a couple of the students to talk about kind of their experience of this club starting to kind of develop? So for today, we have Rio Francois, who is Ebenezer Scrooge. I don't know if Scrooge wants to say hi.
Hello.
And then we've got Yvonne Sanchez, who is Bob Cratchit.
Hello.
And then Riley Edwards, who is Mrs. Turley.
Hello.
So I'm wondering, can you three tell us a little bit about what your experience has been coming into this production?
So it started with watching the movie, and then we had our first audition, and a lot of people were going for Scrooge, and I did not want to go for Scrooge. I wanted to go for Fred, and one kid left, so it went to another kid, but he didn't like the role. So it came to me, and I just started liking it.
Scrooge. But in real life, you're not such a Scrooge, are you?
No.
I think he's far from it.
Far from it.
I'm wondering if Scrooge can give us his signature phrase in the play.
Cratchit!
Not that one.
Bah, humbug.
There it is.
There you go. Yeah. Everybody.
All right. Let's hear from Yvonne.
That was my father, by the way. We used to call him the Scrooge. My father. God rest his soul.
So it really started with 5 of us. We just got the scripts. We auditioned for them in like the second week, and then it started growing and growing and growing. And now we have 1 billion people in this play.
We have 37.
It's a bit of an exaggeration, yes. but quite a few. How did you, so you had to, what's the word?
Audition
for the role. And you, did you purposely choose that role?
No, I went for Scrooge.
Oh, you went for Scrooge.
I went for Scrooge.
You know, surprisingly, we had about 12 people in the end that wanted to be Scrooge.
Wow.
And it was a very tough decision. And like Rio said, you know, we like that the kids took some time with the script to see, you know, maybe the first person ended up is going to be traveling during this week, so that wasn't going to work out. And then, you know, having the kids really make the effort to read through the scripts and then kind of reflect and decide if that was best for them. And so...
And just... You had to make the, who made the decision?
So Miss Scott and I did, and it was not easy, not especially easy. Because we don't want to disappoint any of the right. children, but that's showbiz.
That's showbiz. That's showbiz.
All right, Riley, can you tell us about kind of how you came to be in this production?
How I came into it, I just really like trying out stuff that I never have done before. And when I heard drama, I'm like, wow, I like musicals. And I'm like, why not try out? And the first day that we ever got in our script, I have no idea why, but I really wanted to be Fred. I just like kept on looking at the nephew's lines, and I'm like, well, I could do that. And I'm pretty sure it's because he didn't have a lot of lines.
You seem quite natural to this. But whose role are you?
I am Mrs. Turley. I run a orphanage, and it's called St. Beatrice's Orphanage.
Yes, we... I have to throw some humor in this. When she was first reading her lines, she came up to me and was like, Miss Riley, I am the caretaker at St. Beat Rice Orphanage. and I was like, oh, Riley, dear, it is St. Beatrice. But you know what? Those are some of the best questions because
sure.
then...
If I never asked, you would always be wrong.
Exactly. It would have been wrong tomorrow. And it's now it's St. Beatrice.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We have to take a break in just a second, but you want to do another song before
yeah,
we take
the break? Yeah, let's do a quick
okay.
song. Let's do Silent Night.
Okay.
All right, are we ready?
Yes.
Yes.
In 10 years that I'm on the radio, this is the first time we've gotten response from our listeners. This is amazing.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. We're going to take a quick break. Everybody, don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. I'm here with our students from St. Stanislaus Kostka School with their teacher and their director and producer of A Christmas Carol, Miss Riley. Miss Scott is teaching right now, right? And so we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
At St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, we pray the Roman Canon in Latin on the first Sunday of each month. As Pastor Father Anthony Bush has written,
Latin in the Mass binds us ever more deeply to the saints of old and the Church's enduring character. In our time, when so much of what characterizes our identity of Catholics has been undone, it seems a spiritual and moral work of mercy to offer this simple gesture as a reminder that we are servants of a sacred story always under threat until Jesus comes at the end of all things.
The Roman Canon at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church on the first Sunday of each month. St. Stan's is handicapped accessible. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Why do people call St. Nicholas Santa Claus anyway? Well, the people of Holland have always had a special fondness for St. Nicholas, or Sinterklaas as they call me. In fact, to this very day, I still arrive to deliver gifts on St. Nicholas Eve, that's December 5th, dressed as a Roman Rite bishop and riding my white horse, Amerigo. Anyway, in the 16th century, when Dutch settlers came to the New World, they brought their Sinterklaas tradition with them to a place called New Amsterdam. That's modern New York City. And so, when the English-speaking settlers arrived, they began to mispronounce my Dutch name of Sinterklaas, which means, of course, St. Nicholas, and they began to call me Santa Claus. So Santa Claus really means St. Nicholas. But no matter what I'm called by name, my spirit is still the same. I'm filled with the joy that flows from the Christmas proclamation, Christ is born, glorify him.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We're so happy, and I know you are too. We've got the students who are preparing for their first big drama, big play. I mean, this is really a professional production, it seems to me. A Christmas Carol. Sorry to say, everybody, but tomorrow night it's sold out. 6 o'clock, sold out. Is this going to be recorded?
So as part of the publishing package, or the package that we bought from the publisher, we are going to be recording it. And again, those who are coming, sorry folks, you cannot do any audio or video recording of the show. But eventually, probably a week or two later, it will be available online.
Fantastic. So that's 6 o'clock tomorrow night, 1 o'clock on Saturday, and 2 o'clock on Sunday in the gym?
No, it'll actually be in our library.
In the library, which is a nice, beautiful setting. So in the library of the school here at, 1255 or 1258?
1255 North Noble
Street.
North Noble.
You know better than I. So Miss Riley is here with the students, and what next?
So I thought it would be fun for listeners to get a little bit of our dialogue. This is one of the opening scenes. When they are in, the characters are in Scrooge and Marley's counting house. Now, at this point, Marley has already passed away, and it is being kind of, the upkeep is through Scrooge and his young employee, Bob Cratchit. So I'm wondering if they could give us a little sample.
Cratchit?
Yes, sir, Mrs. Scrooge. Yes, sir.
I presume your work is progressing well.
Yes, sir, Mrs. Scrooge.
Good. I pay you a good wage to do good work.
Yes, sir, Mrs. Scrooge.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir, Mrs. Scrooge.
I see there's a lump of coal missing.
I previously
wasting my hard-earned money again, I see. I shall deduct 1/4 hour for that, Cratchit.
Yes, sir, Mrs. Scrooge. Very good, sir.
So at this point, Mrs. Turley comes into the counting house looking for donations to support the St. Beatrice Orphanage. Mm-hmm. Now, in the studio, we have all of our orphans with us. And so I'm wondering if those orphans, and maybe the help of the rest of the cast, we could sing kind of what happens at this point in the play. And then I'm going to ask our characters to keep talking for about another minute or two. All right. So at this point, let's have those orphans singing nice and loud, please.
Here we come a-caroling among the leaves so green. Here we come a-wandering so fair to be seen. Love and joy come to you. And to you a Christmas too, and God send you a happy new year, and God send you a happy new year.
All right, let's bring it back over to Scrooge.
Here we come a caroling, bah humbug, more like here we come a bothering you little urchins.
And God send you a happy. Oh, dear.
For that, I shall deduct 1/4 hour for that, Cratchit.
Yes, sir, Mrs. Scrooge. Very good, sir.
So that is a little bit of an example of kind of the relationship that Scrooge has with Christmas. And Bob Cratchit is this, like, hopeful young man who just kind of rolls with it. Turley, you want to talk about what happens with you at this point in the play?
Okay. So, I go into Scrooge's counting house, and Scrooge says, "Who are you any? Who are you?" And I say, "I'm Mrs. Turley, caretaker at St. Beatrice's Orphanage." And then he says, "Do you require a loan or any source of money?" And I say, "No, sir, I don't require a loan, sir." And then I tell him about my orphanage, and he tells my orphans to get a job.
And, of course, how old are your orphans?
Very young.
I think they're 6 and 9.
Yes.
Six and nine, to tell them, here's some advice.
Get a job.
Scrooge.
Get a job!
There it is. So I wonder, can we do another song
sure.
for you guys?
Yeah.
All right, so the next song that we do, and these songs, there's only two of the songs that are actually in the production, and the other ones we have an audio CD that's available the days of the performances. So this next one is Jingle Bells. It's a crowd favorite amongst our students. Are we ready, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, all the dreams we go, laughing all the way. Bells are going to ring, making spirits bright. All it is to ride and sing and sing in the night. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, how fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Fantastic. Bravo.
Yeah, see?
There it is again.
There it is.
You got the multitude out there cheering you on. What about, just a question, costumes?
Yeah, so costumes, I think, are one of the kids' favorite parts. Can I get a... Yeah! So we started this drama club with nothing, kind of started out, and the kids and I talked a little bit about the costumes, but Miss Scott and I kind of made the executive decisions on most of them. And they are all in different costumes, ranging from anything that might have been worn kind of in the late 1800s, early 1900s era. When Charles Dickens originally wrote this, it was a very different time than now. But a lot of the same lessons that we learned from this are really applicable to our times now. And so we kind of have a mix of costumes that were from that era and also some current, because this is the era that we live in right
sure.
now.
So you just said something that piqued my interest here, you know, a question perhaps. What is the lesson of the movie, or the play, rather?
So the lesson of the play is truly, to go through the play, Scrooge is visited by three spirits. One of them is played by, or one of the spirit roles is played by Joan Chawla and Amari Thomas. They are the ghost of Christmas past, and they really are there to kind of show Ebenezer Scrooge what his life has been like in the past and kind of his attitudes towards the holiday season. And then Emiliano, as I mentioned earlier, is the ghost of Christmas present, and he is really just to kind of show Scrooge what is working right now and what isn't. And I think he could attest to that a lot of things that Scrooge are doing are not working for him.
Yeah.
And then it finishes with the ghost of Christmas yet to come, which is Pietro. And he, he doesn't really speak, but his actions speak louder than words, because he is there to kind of point out what will happen to Scrooge if he doesn't change his way. So really, it's a story about a change of heart. And I wonder if any of our characters who are up here right now can speak to your experience of the change of heart in this story. Anyone can jump in.
So it's all about me being rude to everyone, and then when it comes to Christmas Day, my housekeeper comes with my morning gruel, and she acts like I act weird. She thinks that I act weird, but I'm just normal because all the spirits have shown me what I need to do and how I can fix it.
So why the change? What moved your heart?
So it's them showing me my past, and then this comedian showing my
your present times.
Yes, and he shows me my clerk, and I say, and I'm like, I never knew he had a crippled son. So then the future shows me that the crippled son dies, and the next day I wake up with a new heart.
So would you say the death of Tiny Tim in the dream, right?
Yeah. So there's one more part that he actually left out was when, go ahead, Devon.
So it's when he sees that there's a grave with no mourners, and it's his grave.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because he wasn't
being very rude.
Yeah.
Didn't make friends well, did you?
No.
Which is quite the opposite of him.
Right, right.
Very.
Completely out of character. Wow. Another song?
Yeah,
Or should we take Nick, should we take a break and then... let's take a break. We'll come back.
Sounds
and
great.
We'll continue. Okay, so everybody, don't go away. We're with our students from St. Stanislaus Koska School here in the heart of Chicago with their teacher, the director, the producer of the play A Christmas Carol, which they're going to perform in the next 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they've been working on this for, since August, so for quite some time. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
At St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, a Eucharistic healing mass will be offered on the first Saturday of every month at 5 p.m. in English. Confessions will be offered from 4 until 5 p.m. And half an hour before the mass, the rosary will be offered for the sick, and a Eucharistic procession will take place during the holy hour following the Mass. Those who are suffering serious illness, preparing for surgery, or in the gravity of old age may receive the sacrament of the anointing of the sick following the Eucharistic benediction the first Saturday of the month at 5 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Koska, located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. More info at ststandschurch.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School is enrolling now for the 2020-21 school year. St. Stan's School is a PK3 to 8th grade Catholic school in Westtown, committed to challenging students achieve academic and social excellence, led by action and example. Explore all that St. Stan's has to offer at ststandschicago.org or call 773-278-4560 or visit St. Stan's School at 1255 North Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway, just 1 block north of Division on Noble.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We're really, really excited, really happy to have our students and their teacher, Miss Riley, as they prepare after many, many months of preparation for the encore. I guess you'd call it the encore, wouldn't you? Is that what they say in showbiz?
That would be, yes, I guess.
Is that
so.
Right?
That's when you want a little bit more at the end. And actually, that for our epilogue of our play. Instead of kind of going into more dialogue, we kind of wanted to share the Christmas spirit with everyone who comes to see us. And so we are going to sing for you guys, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And this is actually the last final song of our play. This is when we get to take a big, deep breath and say that we've done it. All right.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We all want some figgy pudding. We all want some figgy pudding. We all want some figgy pudding. Now bring it right here. Good tidings we bring.
Bravissimo. I'm it. Okay. Oh, this is the most response we've ever gotten from our listeners. So I embarrassed myself. I'm a little bit befuddled, but Encore would be the premiere, right?
Their yes, premiere. This is our premiere.
This is the premiere of the play Christmas Carol. So we got some more characters up
here. Yeah, so we have our two ghosts of Christmas past, Joan Challa and Amari Thomas. Can you guys say hi?
Hi!
And then we also have our two younger versions of Scrooge. We have our boy Scrooge Antonio.
Hi.
And we have our young teenage Scrooge Hunter.
Hello.
So I'm wondering, can my ghosts of Christmas past tell us a little bit about being ghosts and maybe tell us a little bit about your experience of how Scrooge changes with your time?
So what I think about being a ghost is very fun because I get to tell Scrooge his past and what he has messed up and, like, what he should have not done, like, oh, he should have chose the money over his love, like that type of stuff. And, yeah, do I want to go?
Yes, so I really like it. And when I'm saying stuff to Scrooge, I'm like, you have much to learn, Ebenezer. I'm here to show his past, so I'm showing him his past.
Fantastic.
Right, and then now our boy Scrooges. Now, both of these characters also interact with our ghosts of Christmas past. They're more of like a flashback. So I'm wondering, what is it like to be Scrooge as a kid, Antonio?
Was he a good kid or a bad kid? Mm. Not so good. One or the other.
Mm.
Come on, you know.
Good.
He was a good young boy.
Okay.
Yeah, so when he started to grow up a little bit, he had a little bit of a change of heart from that good, wholesome little boy that he was. Hunter, can you tell us a little bit about what happens when he gets a little older?
So when he gets older, a young teenage adult, which is me, he meets a girl named Belle, and he asks her, because in my scene, we're at, like, a party, and then I ask her, why did you want to leave? And then she said she needs to spend some time with me, and then I say, wonderful, and then she's, like...
Can I help you out a little bit?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so she says, you know, Scrooge... now that you're getting older and you're apprenticing under this...
Fezziwig.
Yeah, Fezziwig, this character also played by Emmanuel.
Hi.
He says hi. And he... So Scrooge is talking to Belle, and Belle is like, you know what? I can't wait around for you. We used to have play dates, and now we don't. And so Belle does a really good job of starting to explain to us that Scrooge is no longer interested in people like he used to be, but now he's more interested in the money. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, so our Belle is Daphne.
Where is Belle?
Belle is right here. Daphne, can you move right over next to Joanne?
Where's Belle?
Can I move this?
Right there. Can you say hi, Daphne?
Hi.
So that's Daphne, our first grader, who is Belle, who tells us... Hey, Daphne, do you think you could recite some of your lines about when Ebenezer is too interested in his money?
I don't know.
Okay. So maybe not today. A little bit of stage fright. But, Daphne, can you tell us what it's like to be in the play?
It's fun to be in the play because,
Daphne,
we get to wear costumes play.
You just took the thought right out of my head. I want to ask you this. So did you prepare your own costume?
Yeah, we prepared our own costume.
So can you describe what you're going to wear, what your costume looks like?
My costume looks like green with flowers on it, and it has something on top, which I think put on.
Yeah,
like
so
circle.
She has a crown of flowers that she wears.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Yeah. Crown of flowers.
That's great. I can't wait.
Yeah, so we kind of see that evolution of costume
sure.
through our boy characters. We start with really traditional costume that kids might have worn when they went to kind of a boarding school.
Right.
And then we transition to a young businessman and okay. then an old businessman.
Yeah.
So one thing that I don't like about my role is that I come from curly hair to blonde hair, blonde straight hair, and back to brown curly straight hair.
And what he doesn't know, well, he just found out, is he's also going to go to silver hair tomorrow.
You'll be like me.
If he had silver hair, I would wash it.
So, yes, all okay. of our costumes and all of our makeup are washable.
Oh, so makeup, too. This is
we do,
thing.
Yeah, we are doing makeup, and we have a number of parents who are, I know Yvonne really wants to tell us he's going to wear sideburns.
Oh.
We have a handful of parents who, like I said at the beginning, their time and talents are invaluable to us.
Sure.
And they've really kind of stepped up and helping us make this a possibility.
So it's really involving everybody. I get it. Who is Tiny Tim?
Tiny Tim is Nate. He's also right there. He is next to you. Can you tell us what it's like to be Tiny Tim, since you know a little bit more about your character now?
That I get to wear crutches.
Crutches.
So he gets to use, we're turning a cane into a crutch.
Sure, sure.
And he says this famous line that has been said for years since this has been written. And Nate, it's how you end the play. Do you think you could tell us that line?
Yeah.
Go for it.
God bless us, everyone.
God bless
God
us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone.
So, Nate, so how did you get the role of Tiny Tim?
In the beginning, Miss Riley and Miss Scott started asking us if we wanted to get that character.
Yeah, so we asked some of the characters who we knew were on our younger side, who were just starting to show a little bit of interest, if they had interest in particular characters, and we told them a little bit about it. And also, you know, because we span from first grade to seventh grade in this production, we have some of our kids who are still learning how to read, and we
right.
didn't want to overwhelm them.
Right.
Because one poor experience could mean right. I don't want to try this again. But we really wanted to kind of ease those kids in as long as the interest was there.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So we have other characters, or?
Yeah, we have some other characters. I can turn over here. I've got Nick,
okay.
who's one of our orphans, and I'm sure he'd love to say hi and tell us a little bit about his role.
Hi, everyone.
Nick was here. You were here Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who are you, Nick?
Well, I'm one of the orphans at St.
Beatrice.
Beatrice, yeah. And I really do like my role because I love singing, as I told you the other day on Tuesday, right? And that's why, because at first I was a ghost of the past, right? I wanted to sing, and my friend Pietro offered to trade with me the role. So I said, thank you so much, and of course, and that's how I got my role, and I love it, and I think Ms. Riley's a great teacher for it.
You better believe it. This is also
thanks,
a good...
Nick.
Thanks, Nick. A good point. It's a teacher, student. This is great. So this is the other thing, too, is these kids, the students are learning to work as a team. Do you want to say something about that? Because
yeah, so, you know, one of the best things, and this is actually why I absolutely love working at St. Stan's, is because the students are such a family and such a tight-knit
right.
community. And even in this club, I've seen them kind of get together and really support each other and bring each other up. And so it's just been, I mean, it's a club that anybody can participate in, and they can just be themselves, which is the most important part of it.
Yeah, and you know, and you love what you're doing. And this, I actually mentioned this on the radio last week, and I think I sent a message out to the parents and to the teachers last week after I was in the school, and I saw you and Miss Scott, and I said, I think the teachers are more excited than the students. I mean, you guys
really are
excited. Put your heart and soul and a real passion into this.
Yeah, and I mean, we realized at a certain point that we couldn't do it alone, so we also reached out to other staff members. And so we also have Miss Castellanos, who's our third grade teacher, as well as our second grade teacher, Miss Wargo, who's new this year, and also another new teacher, Miss Hembry, in first grades, who have really stepped up and really made this a possibility. So I wanted to introduce one more character.
Okay, sure.
And she is how we call her, the sassy nun, the sassy sister.
Oh, okay.
So this is Sydney. She's Sister Angeline, and I would love to hear her experience of representing a sister in our play.
Okay, a sassy sister.
A sassy sister. We love it.
Hello. My name is Sydney, and I play Sister Angeline in the play.
What's your favorite part about being Sister Angeline?
My favorite part about playing Sister Angeline is that I really get to yell at somebody.
Which you normally don't, and that's completely out of character as well, right?
Yeah. I don't normally yell at people,
but
it's just a fun experience to get to try something new.
You know, I actually see the person who... I see the person who you get to yell at. I'm wondering if she wants to talk about that as well.
Hello. She yells at me.
Mrs. Turley.
Mrs. Turley.
Which is...
And why does she yell at you?
So, I went to Mr. Scrooge's, and she wasn't very happy that I went to Mr. Scrooge's, because she doesn't like Mr. Scrooge.
Because I made an error on selling them a building.
Yeah.
10 times more than what it should be.
Yeah, you did.
All right, so Sister Angeline, how about at the end of the play when Scrooge comes in and he says, hey, guess what? I did sell it to you for 10 times the amount. What is your reaction?
So my reaction is like, I'm really surprised because at first when he comes, I'm really skeptical. Like, I'm really suspicious and I don't believe him. And then when he says that, I'm like really surprised and happy because I don't have to pay as much money as I would normally do.
Sydney, I'm shocked because you're such a kind, nice, wonderful young person, and yet you wanted this role of the mean, sassy nun. You wanted to be something that you weren't, huh?
Well, yeah, actually, I had an audition. My mom had reached out to Miss Scott because I had told her about it, and there was a previous student who, I guess, dropped out.
She was traveling during this time as well.
So then I took her role, and at first, I was like, oh, I don't want to be this.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But then after reading my lines, I was like, oh, this isn't just that bad. I mean, I kind of am like that. I'm very sassy.
You, not in real life, you're not.
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah.
A little bit.
A little bit, really?
Yeah, I'm...
I've never seen that side of you.
Well, sometimes I'm bossy and...
All right. So you are acting in character, I guess, huh?
Yeah, not all the time. Most of the time, I'm, like, very quiet and, like, I talk, but, like, I'm not, like, the person who talks every single second. So, like, this role was, like, kind of like an eye-opener to, like, I guess, my other side of...
The dark side.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you going to be dressed as a nun?
Yes.
And of course, we want to remind everybody that there are not all religious sisters and nuns are mean and sassy, right?
Oh, definitely not.
Definitely not. No, we know that for
sure. Yeah, when I was in college, I had three sisters that were my professors, and they, at that point, I'd never had a Catholic school education, and I was at a Catholic college, so it was brand new to me, and I was like, oh, dear, this is going to be something different, and it was not at all what I thought it was going to be. It was my best experience.
Can I ask you where you went to college?
Sure, I went to St. Mary's University in Minnesota.
Beautiful. Okay, yeah. Great. Oh, so you've had a, okay, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and then let you, I see there's a lot of hands up, so people really want to talk, but I'm going to leave it up to you.
Sounds good.
So we're going to take a break, everybody. Don't go away. We're going to have our last segment, but we're here with the students of our school here at St. Stanislaus Koska with their teacher, Miss Riley,
and they're preparing for the premiere of the play A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens
play.
And so don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
At St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, we pray the Roman Canon in Latin on the first Sunday of each month. As Pastor Father Anthony Bush has written,
Latin in the Mass binds us ever more deeply to the saints of old and the Church's enduring character. In our time, when so much of what characterizes our identity of Catholics has been undone, it seems a spiritual and moral work of mercy to offer this simple gesture as a reminder that we are servants of a sacred story always under threat until Jesus comes at the end of all things.
The Roman Canon at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church on the first Sunday of each month. St. Stan's is handicapped accessible. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
At St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, a Eucharistic Healing Mass will be offered on the first Saturday of every month at 5 p.m. in English. Confessions will be offered from 4 until 5 p.m. And half an hour before the Mass, the Rosary will be offered for the sick, and a Eucharistic procession will take place during the Holy Hour following the Mass. Those who are suffering serious illness, preparing for surgery, or in the gravity of old age may receive the sacrament of the anointing of the sick following the Eucharistic benediction the first Saturday of the month at 5 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. More info at ststandschurch.org.
Welcome back, everybody. We're happy to have you because we're happy to have everybody, but we're happy to have our students here from St. Stan's Kostka who are preparing for the premiere of their play, A Christmas Carol, here with her teacher, Miss Riley. And Miss Riley.
All right, so we've had a little bit of change of characters that we have now with us. We have Brian Gomez, who's one of our orphans. Can you say hi, Brian?
Hi.
He's in first grade. We have Professor Fezziwig, Dr. Fezziwig, who's Emmanuel, but he is also one of our tech guys. He's actually going to be running our spotlights. Then we have Brandon in Emmanuel's in fourth grade. Brandon is also in fourth grade, and he is?
Jacob Marley.
And then we also have Scrooge's housekeeper, who's a little bit cunning at times and has a little bit of sticky fingers in Scrooge's house. That's Maya in fifth grade. Can you say hi for us?
Hi.
And then we have Abby in third grade, who's Mrs. Cratchit.
All right, Mrs. Cratchit.
We've heard a lot about the change of heart that Scrooge goes through, but these are some of the characters that help him kind of move in that direction. So I'm wondering if, Dilber, can you tell us kind of the change that you see in Scrooge from the first time that we see you in the play until Christmas morning?
So basically the change is how he's really rude, so I end up taking his stuff, but at the end, he's really nice, so.
And what does he do to that stuff that you originally had in your apron pocket?
He gave it to me, so I guess I kind of felt bad for taking it.
Why did you take it?
Because I have 8 babies and a husband, and I didn't really have a lot of money.
And does Scrooge pay you a fair wage at the beginning?
No, he does not. So I guess that's kind of why I took his stuff.
All right. And then Marley, so you used to be Scrooge's partner before you passed away. And what is your role in the play? What do you do?
So my role is basically I sneak under his bed and I pop out and I tell him that he's going to be visited by 3 spirits and how he doesn't believe that I'm here at all. He thinks that Mrs. Dilber poisoned his soup before he went to sleep.
So that's really what my role is.
Yeah, so he kind of foretells what will happen to Scrooge that night. And then Fezziwig, Emmanuel, he doesn't have a speaking role. However, he gets to kind of show us the man that Fezziwig was. He threw elaborate parties back in that day. And what do you get to do on stage?
Oh, I get to dance.
He gets to dance. And, you know, so I also had mentioned that Emmanuel gets to operate a spotlight. Now, we don't have a spotlight, and I'm so thankful. I don't know if I can give a shout-out to the school. It's actually my elementary school is Abraham Lincoln Elementary in Chicago.
Sure.
And they have a really great booming drama program. And, you know, they of course, didn't have it when I was there. But a lot of the people that I really respect and have really learned from, some of my teachers are still part of this organization. And so I think even that has given me a little bit of courage myself to kind of bring this to the kids here. So can you tell us a little bit about operating some piece of equipment that you've probably never touched before?
I've actually never touched that. It's hard.
Why is it hard?
Because, like, if you go too fast, it just goes like, and you have to go slowly, and sometimes I just want to, like, go fast.
You're talking about the spotlight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're going to be managing that through the play, through the whole play?
I also don't like it because I have to stand a lot.
So he has to stand on a chair to be able to see over the spotlight, but that's the small thing. So then
But you get to dance, you know, that's the important thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's my...
So when you're dancing, who's going to have the spotlight on you?
Hopefully he will have it perfectly set for that.
You'll set it up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be on another side.
Don't worry about that. So then I have Brian. Brian, can you tell me a little bit about what it's like being in the play? You're just in first grade. You're one of our youngest actors. I think we have three to five kids in first grade. What is it like being in your first play?
Like being, like saying the words from the play.
Yeah, what's that like? Do you like it?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part about Drama Club?
I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. How often do you practice? When do you practice? Do you practice during school or after school?
After school.
Yeah, so we have been practicing since August every Wednesday. And these last 2 weeks, for better or for worse, we've had rehearsals every day.
Wow.
Really, and just to kind of tie up the loose ends. And actually, today is our last dress rehearsal, really to get ourselves ready. And then I know the kids have a lot of excitement because right when this play is over on Sunday, we will meet again next Wednesday, and I would love for just the kids to have kind of a resounding sound of what are we doing next Wednesday?
The Wizard of Oz.
Are going to watch the movie The Wizard of Oz and pass out the new scripts so that the kids can take a look at that over Christmas break and decide what they want to audition for.
Fantastic. And tomorrow morning we have Mass at 8 o'clock, grade 15.
We do.
More or less.
Yep.
And I know you're not nervous at all, right? You guys are not nervous? Are you nervous?
Anyone nervous?
You have no reason to be.
A little bit.
So there's a little bit of honesty here.
Yeah.
So we're gonna bless you, get like a little formal blessing.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
To the characters and all those who are part of this production. It's going to be really... I'm... Miss Riley, again, I'm so excited about this. This is something I've wanted to see this for years and years in our school. And
I'm glad that we have it right now and that there's so much interest.
Your passion, you command the respect of the students. You have great control of students. And I can see that I think we're going to have a lot of... How many of you want to be teachers?
Kind of.
Quite a few.
Kind of a little bit.
So you're inspired by your teacher. How many of you want to be in? I want to be
an actor. A lot of actors. We actually have a lot of kids that want to be actors.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not.
And that's really cool to see. And, you know, even if you want to pursue another profession, you can still act.
Absolutely.
You can do both.
Yeah. We got about 5 minutes. Is there? I wonder if we could even. I know we've sung the songs, but is there? Could we do another one, maybe? Or do you want to say something else? Or?
So we could probably do another one. I don't know if we can have maybe Mrs. Cratchit talk about her role for just a minute while I get that ready.
Absolutely. Miss Cratchit, you just talk right into the mic. There you hear yourself.
And we also have Bob Cratchit, who's on hand as well.
All right.
Hey.
So.
Hello.
So how did you get the role, Miss Cratchit?
So.
Did you, is that the role you wanted?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's like, I get to learn the roles, and I get to remember them.
So you've had to practice, memorize your words? So that's a question I have, too. So when you guys are acting, as the play begins, are you doing this, you're not going to be reading off any kind of paper or anything?
No.
Go ahead, Yvonne.
No, but there is some people that do get their binders or a little book.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I'm at a dinner table. We, since the audience won't see it, we could have the binder on the plates. When the old man and Thomas are talking, it's going to be if they're opening a book.
So, great. You know, one of the things I thought that we could kind of wrap up with is we have an opening chant that we do.
Yes.
And it's still a little rough, and that's okay because this is a youth performance. Right. And so that's why, you know, as Yvonne was saying, we want to let the kids who are not as confident in their speaking lines to have that with them. Because, again, we want this to be only a positive experience. And if that means we have a binder, that means we have a binder. And so right when we finish this opening chant, I'm going to kind of do something that I let the kids know that I would like their attention. And it's something that they've kind of requested that we do on the radio before we wrap up. So let's quickly just do the, let's knock it out of the park. Are we ready, guys? Let's have girls start. One, two, three.
Welcome one and welcome all. Welcome big and welcome small. Trim the tree and deck the hall. Christmas Day is coming. Welcome every lass and lad. Please accept our tidings glad. On this day we gladly add. Christmas Day is coming.
Welcome one and all to Christmas, welcome one and all with joy. Hear the spirit call on Christmas, bless us one and bless us all.
Roast the goose and make the pie,
hang the trees and garlands high.
Share your smile.
All right, that's all that we have time for real quick at the end. Drama.
Drama!
Bravissimo. We are... I'm so excited. I can't wait. So tomorrow, the premiere of the play A Christmas Carol here at St. Stanislaus Koska in the library of the school. These are, 37?
37 school children.
37 of our students from first grade to...
Seventh grade.
To seventh grade with their teacher, Miss Riley, the producer and the director with Miss Scott. And we thank all the parents who have been such a support. I can't wait. I can't wait. Those lights better be, you can have those lights ready. All right, everybody. Can you say goodbye?
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
Bye. Bye.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see?